Well, good morning. Please take out with me your outlines for today's message if you have not done so already. And we're going to be talking about inheriting the earth in meekness. We're going to be reading Matthew 5:5. Now, of course, we've been going through the Beatitudes for the past few weeks. Can anybody tell me what number we are on today?
Number 3.
Are you sure?
Yep.
All right, we'll go with that one. All right. We're going to be looking at Matthew 5:5. Also, if you would please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 39:9-11. We're going to be looking at those after we read Matthew 5:5. If you would, please stand with me as we read God's Word together. Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And then back over there to Psalm 37, starting with verse 9. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Lord Jesus, again, we do praise you and thank you for this day that you've given to us, the blessedness and the just being able to praise you in song, to lift up our concerns to you and our praises to you. And now, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to hear your word, your message, again, we just pray that you would just open our eyes, our ears, and especially our heart to what you have to say. And we pray this in your loving name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as we start off today, I got a couple of questions here. In your opinion, you don't have to speak it out, but, you know, just in your opinion, can a person be meek and happy at the same time? I said not to speak it out. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's why I'm just giving you a hard time. Just giving you a hard time. Okay, do you know somebody who is meek and yet also still seems happy? Okay. Many people actually find that challenging, to picture a person or to understand a person who is meek and also enjoying life. Because oftentimes, especially in today's society, we misunderstand what this word meek or meekness is truly all about. We live in a world that says a couple different things. One is, if it feels good, do it. That's what the world says. I'm not up here preaching that. That's why I stepped away from the pulpit. Okay? But that's what the world tells us. Do your own thing. If it feels good, then it's a-okay. Just go ahead and do it. We also live in a world that thinks that an aggressive person is the way to get whatever you want to get out of life. To be aggressive in any way. And something that you want, to be aggressive at it. Not just hard working at it, not just, you know, working towards your goals, because it's good to have goals, but to be aggressive at it. That if you cheat a little bit here or do something wrong here or whatever, to your benefit, go for it. I mean, that's what the world tells us, right? Climb that corporate ladder, climb whatever it takes, get what you want. And talking about being meek, Jesus was not talking about being fearful or weak. He was talking about our attitude or our outlook on life. The meekness that Jesus is talking about requires us to be strong people who are grounded in Christ. It demands us to have a personal relationship with God. For this meekness that Jesus is talking about here, it demands us to have a personal relationship with God in order to look at meekness the correct way. Many of us here today probably remember Tom Landry. Does anybody not know who I'm talking about? Okay, so everybody knows who I'm talking about, Tom Landry. For 29 years or 29 seasons, he coached the, who? Dallas Cowboys, who were they? Okay, anyway. Okay, yes, he coached the Dallas Cowboys. A man who kept his cool. I can only remember one, maybe two times that you saw Tom Landry express any kind of emotion of anger or being upset. And there's times that he would. I mean, there's times that he would have discussions with the referees or a discussion with his ball players, but very seldom was it out in front of anybody. Whenever anything was going bad, Tom Landry was known to be the cool guy. Had that fedora hat and everything, right? That's how you say that. Okay, whatever. All right. He was a man of great Christian faith that he took seriously. A man that was described as being meek and yet strong. That's how a lot of people have actually described Tom Landry. A man as being meek and yet strong. Because a lot of times we think this meek word is about being weak, you know, not being strong in anything. A little bit different, Tom Landry is a little bit different than what we see a lot of times today. And at least what I've seen, especially like in the high school sports in many different areas, where it seems like the coaches scream at the refs and just do anything and, you know, everything. We come from an area that's real popular, okay? Where the scream at the refs and holler and scream at the kids and everything, and just belittle them in front of everybody instead of simply being like a Tom Landry example. Now, a person can have goals and a determination to accomplish those goals. Meekness is not about just letting everyone walk all over us. So it's about letting Christ control us and direct us in the goals that he has for us. In accomplishing goals that Christ has set before us, does it mean that we just, okay, Christ says, I want you to do this, that we don't have work to do? No. Does it mean that we are not to be strong? No. But meekness is about setting our goals what Christ has for us and following his lead. It is about focusing on what he has for our life. And not worrying so much about what the other guy is doing, necessarily. Today we're focusing, we're going to be looking at four main ideas. Meekness maintains an even temperament. Sometimes we don't like that word, temperament. Aristotle defined meekness as the means between two extremes, intense anger and excessive indifference. It is that happy medium between too much anger and too little passion. Scottish minister William Barclay suggested that this beatitude could be translated this way. Blessed is the one who is always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. So, when is the right time to be angry and express it in the right way? When is the right time to be angry? When insult or injury is suffered by others, not ourselves. Now, when I talked about being angry, this is not saying that, talking about necessarily about retaliating with physical force or something like that. It's about practicing meekness. And when is the right time to be angry? When someone else is wrong. So let's take our example, of course, from God's word. Would you call Jesus being meek? Depending on the situation. Okay? Now, if we're going to look at biblically, yes. For instance, let's do it this way. When Jesus cleared out the temple, then you guys can just tell me this, why did he do it? He was angry about what? Okay, we have to understand what was actually taking place. There was money changers and they were selling, so you have to understand that people were coming from a long distance. This was at Passover time. People had come from a long distance. They didn't necessarily have the sacrifices required when they got to Jerusalem to get to the temple. Okay, so there's people there that were in the temple courts, especially like in the Gentile courts, selling doves and sheep or whatever that they were going to use for their sacrifices. That was actually okay. What was taking place was they were charging a little bit too much than what they should have been charging. And also, if they came from a different country, Because, you know, this Passover brought in Jews from all over the place. And if they had different money, they weren't given necessarily the right, correct change, okay, in a currency exchange. So that's kind of what was taking place here. And to top it all off, these people had to pay so much money to be there to the temple, so the priests knew exactly what was taking place, and they were allowing it. That's what Jesus got upset about. It wasn't the fact that people were there trying to help people or selling necessary sacrifices to the people. That was actually beneficial. It was the fact that they were robbing people. So see, Jesus got mad at the fact that they were misusing God's house. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. I get that. But also the fact that the people were hurting somebody else. Okay, that's what one of the things he was mad about when he did that. So Jesus, and then at times you see Jesus just calm and collective. Okay, now, do not go from here today saying Pastor Brian gave me to take order permission to take a whip at somebody. That's not what I'm saying. But I am giving the example of how Jesus was even temperament and how he got angry in the right circumstances. How does God give us an even temperament? It can and only begins through salvation. It begins through salvation. So if we want to talk about having meekness, the first thing we have to ask ourselves, if we've truly accepted Christ. Because if we have not accepted Christ, we cannot gain meekness. It cannot happen. Salvation is so much more than just simply coming to Christ and asking for forgiveness. That's the first step of salvation. That's what brings us forgiveness. It's also about letting Christ control us and teach us. God gives us an even temperament through his Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What is it? It's the fruit of the Spirit. How do we get the Spirit? Through salvation. So you see, we can't have these fruits of gentleness or kindness biblically unless we have Christ. Okay? We can't gain these because we can't gain the Holy Spirit without coming to Christ. That's his gift to us. Many people, even non-believers, try to be good, gentle, loving people, and kind. But yet, that's not the biblical way. They're not doing it through Christ. We have to understand that we have to come to Christ for salvation. That's the first step in coming to meekness and gaining that even temperament. Number two, meekness develops self-control. In other words, that sometimes we don't like to look at. Self-control. The word meekness has often been used to describe the idea of self-control. For example, one time an animal would be described as being wild. And then when they would tame it, it was described as being meek. Like you get a talk with people who have trained horses and they've broken horses, you know, they've gotten a wild horse or whatever. And then they, you know, go through the whole process, and it's a process to break that horse. My dad worked with horses many times. And one of the ways that they'll describe that horse is once it's broken, once it's trained, however you want to put that, as being gentle and meek. It's no longer wild and doing its own thing. It's learned to simply behave. It does what it's been trained to do. So the beatitude there could be translated this way. Blessed are those who are self-controlled or have learned self-control. And we get that through the Holy Spirit again working within us. There is a huge difference between weakness and meekness, and we have to understand that. Weakness is giving in to the worst that's in you. When we give in to like a temper tantrum, okay, or something like that, that's giving in to the worst of us. And believe me, I'll be the first to admit that there's sometimes, my wife will tell you this at different times, it's a battle. It's a battle. And when I say she will tell you this, I meant for me, not her, before I get myself in trouble. Okay? But we all have issues probably from time to time, no matter how much we're trying to work and walking with Christ, where something will just set us off and we don't think about it. We forget what we're called to be like and to have that self-control. And the self-control results in peace with oneself. Let me ask you this. We've probably all have heard the scripture reading, probably have heard many people say it. Forgive and forget. So let me ask you this. If I'm walking down the street and Scott comes up and he stomps on my foot and breaks my toe, okay? Am I going to forget what Scott did most likely? No, it may heal. Scott may ask me to forgive him. And I'll forgive him. I almost said I'll forget him, but I'll forgive him. But once in a while, I'm still going to remember what he did to my toe. So the forget part is not necessary for talking about forgetting what took place. Because we all have things that we have happened to us or things we've done to somebody else that they can't forget. They may forgive us, but they can't know. Sometimes we can't necessarily forget the action. It's about forgetting the retaliation. It's about forgetting or trying to get even. Self-control results in the peace with oneself. And those who cannot control their anger, their greed, or their lust, or their tongue, are never really truly at peace. Number three, meekness expresses itself through gentleness. Meekness and gentleness are characteristics of being strong when we truly understand it and not a weak person. So we're going to look at some different things of what that means. Gentleness is considerate of others. Gentleness is about being considerate of others. Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Now, oftentimes, what could be the first temptation that might come at us when we're trying to help somebody who's messed up? Often, who's going to say something? I'm sorry.
Anger.
Okay, could be anger at them. Sometimes it could be just that, anger at them, and we might start doing this, telling other people, do you know what so-and-so did? Okay. Of course, we're not supposed to do that, but sometimes that's a temptation that comes at us. Another temptation that might come at us, well, okay, we'll forgive the person, and then we'll just simply ignore the sin. Now, I'm not saying hold it against them, but we'll start to say, well, it's no big deal. That sin that they did was no big deal. We'll just make excuses for them. Okay, and we're not supposed to do that either. Okay, we can actually fall into the temptation of committing the same sin when we do that. When we downplay the sin. But we are to take and restore them. And how are we supposed to restore them? Gently. Okay? Especially you come to them gently. Gentleness looks at the person differently. It means looking at the person with compassion and a desire to help them and to reassure them. I've done some different talks and everything about evangelism and church growth and just different things. And one thing I've often told the people I've talked to or been in the group or whatever, I said this, people will realize instantly or soon if you're truly interested in them or just simply trying to get them to your church. They will know if you're truly interested in their situation. If you're truly interested, especially when they start to understand sin, if you're truly interested in them, or if you're just trying to get them in your church for numbers. And it's the same thing when we're trying to restore somebody. They will see if we're just simply trying to restore them to make sure they stay in our group, or if we're truly interested in their life and in their soul. A gentle person is considerate of others, even when they have done wrong. And sometimes that's hard, especially if it's somebody that keeps it, has like some type of an addiction, they fall back. And when you don't understand addiction, the first thing that will come to our minds is, why don't they just simply knock it off if you don't understand addiction? Whatever the addiction is, okay? I've shared with some people here and a couple times now, back several years ago, I had, you would probably say, a little bit of addiction to Mountain Dew, okay? 3 gallons a day, okay? Now you should see the eyes that just lit up. Okay, yeah, 3 gallons a day of Mountain Dew. They consider if you have 2 Mountain Dews a week to be addicted to it. That's what the doctor told me when he told me to knock it off. Okay? So when people are battling addictions or whatever, we have to have some compassion towards them. Gentleness admits faults to others. Gentleness admits faults to others. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and do what? Pray for each other. So when we're talking about confessing our sins to each other, that doesn't mean we go to every single person in our church group or in our church family and tell them what we've done. But it does mean that we have some people special to us, close to us, that we can trust and go to them and say, hey, I have an issue. I have something in my life. I need somebody to help hold me accountable. I need somebody to pray for me. Okay? Because if we got everybody, we all know the danger when we start telling everybody. Okay? We got to be careful. But we are all to pray for each other on a general basis to help keep us out of sin. But we need those special people close to us that we can trust and say, hey, I need you to hold me accountable. And when I tell you that I mess up in a certain area, I know you're going to keep it between us two. Okay? So we need that. And to go along with that, gentleness encourages others. Gentleness encourages others. Titus 3, verses 1 and 2. Remind people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceful and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. For many believers, these two verses and others similar to them can at times be the hardest for us. Because we live in a society that, especially today, that when a group of people or even two people disagree, passionately, let's put it that way, it seems like today the normal is beginning to more and more to start what? Calling the other person names and just start slandering each other instead of actually talking it out. And, you know, okay, we may disagree, we can talk about it, but it's more and more becoming, okay, I'll just put this person down, I'll put this person down, I'll put this group down, I'll put that group down, instead of just saying, okay, maybe we need to understand that sometimes we're going to have things that we're going to disagree on and just leave it at that. There's a post I've seen on Facebook several times that says this: just because I disagree with you doesn't mean I hate you. We need to relearn that today, is what the post says. The thing is, many times we say it aimed at the other person to not hate us. We forget that that's for us, not to be hating them or saying things about them. Especially, I believe this, especially for leadership. And not just in the church, but in our nation. I'll be the first to say, right now we have some weird things taking place on both sides of the so-called aisle. I'm not here preaching one side or the other. Because we got some people running for government that, in my opinion, don't need to be in there at all, no matter what side they're on. Okay, and I'm not trying to be up here to be political. I'm just simply saying we are given bad examples right now on both sides on what's taking place, on how to handle it. Now, I've always been in for good, hard political stuff debating. I get that. But what I'm saying on both sides of name calling and everything is not who we should be. We are called to encourage each other without focusing on our faults. Gentleness learns from others. Gentle people are apt to learn. Okay, when we take time to be gentle and learn from others, well, we will learn from others. They accept, you know, it's people who are gentle try to accept constructive criticism. Now, I've had people come up and criticize me, and my first defense is often to put that wall up. And sometimes I got to step away from the situation and think about it for a little while and say, okay, all they were doing was trying to help me. Okay, not necessarily take it personal, but that's a temptation. That's the way Satan comes at us, to try to take it personally so we don't listen to people trying to help us. Meekness is assured of victory. Meekness is assured or promised, if you want to put it that way, of victory. Jesus said that those who are meek will what? Inherit the earth. The truth is affirmed in many times throughout the Bible that talks about meekness. In the passage we read from Psalm 37, 9 through 11, talking about the meek will inherit the earth. There's some others. Psalm 22, 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. Psalm 25, 9. He leads the meek in justice and he what? Teaches the meek his way. Psalm 147, 6. He lifts up the meek. It is significant that Jesus said the meek shall inherit the earth, not capture the earth. You ever think about it that way? That we inherit the earth. We don't capture his blessings. An inheritor is a receiver, not an aggressor. God in his providence has structured the world so that the meek are certain to inherit it. Now, I've had people, and I've talked about this before, talk about, well, about wars and everything. Remember, this is talking one-on-one, a situation, our own personal life. We can get into the debate about wars and everything, a different thing, but this is how Jesus was calling his, who was Jesus speaking to on the Sermon on the Mount? His disciples, believers, and how they were to live their personal life is what this is pointing at. So if you're thinking that meekness is hard to develop, you are absolutely correct. It is hard. Jesus never said living for him or learning from him was going to be necessarily completely easy. I cannot tell myself to be meek and expect instantly to be meek. There's going to be times that we're successful at being meek, and then there's going to be times that, man, we really messed up at it. Okay? We cannot do for ourselves, but God does for us, beginning with salvation and then continuing his work through the daily infilling of the Holy Spirit. We have to remember that. God helps us. He's there with us. If we are struggling with meekness on a continual basis, one thing we need to ask ourselves right off the bat is if we've truly accepted Christ, because we will never have biblical meekness if we've not first done that and accepted him as Savior. And then we have to ask ourselves if we're allowing God to work within us and develop us through his Holy Spirit, this thing called meekness. And when we do, the wonderful quality of meekness will be ours, at least from time to time, as we continually work on it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we praise you and thank you for the gift of meekness. But Lord, we ask you to help us understand that in order to get the gift of meekness, we have to first understand and receive the gift of you and your forgiveness. So again, Lord, we ask today that if there is someone here that's never truly asked you to be their Savior, received your forgiveness, to receive the Holy Spirit in their life, to develop them. That whether it be the next song or some, or after the service, to come up to me or somebody and say, I need to accept Christ and Jesus as my Savior. That they would be having, that they would have the courage to do that. And Lord, help us as we receive your gift of yourself, as you work within us to develop this meekness, to be open to your teaching and leading us through your word, through your spirit, and through others. We just pray this in your loving name. Amen.